swing, swing, swing here.
Oh, hammer that.
Give me some of this over the triple block. Yes.
That guy's going to swing no matter where he is.
Ace, it's over.
Welcome to Over the Top, your all-access view inside BYU Men's Volleyball. Great to have you with us. I'm Jerem Jordan alongside a man who, like Carl McGowan, always loved a good win against UCLA, Steve Vail.
You know, I don't hate UCLA like I used to, but still, the sweep was pretty sweet.
Now, when Carl McGowan, the longtime BYU Men's Volleyball coach and the legend, the Hall of Famer that he was, passed away, his son Chris spoke at his funeral and said, "My dad taught me it was okay to hate UCLA." And BYU sweeps UCLA last night in dominating fashion. Here's the show lineup. We'll break that down. How are the seeds shaping up in the MPSF tournament? We know BYU's the one seed. Steve's wow moments of the week in the 80s and 90s movie or TV show of the week. And we'll chat with setter Cyrus Fa'alogo. Interesting personal story with him and Coach Sean Olmstead. Okay, let's get right to it. Since we last joined you, general conference weekend, didn't have a show last week. So two wins against USC. BYU loses just a set in that. We had balloon gate. Someone popped a balloon. They had to replay a point. It swung the set. USC won a set. But that's that. Neither here nor there. Last night, BYU at UCLA, number 6, BYU number 2, 23-point sweep, Steve. BYU hits 455, UCLA hit 160. Amazing!
Super, super awesome. BYU just were, they were in fuego all night last night. Super fun to watch them just go off like that.
Okay, Gabby Garcia-Fernandez and Davide Gardini, ever heard of them? Combined for 20 kills, no errors. Sorry, again, no errors. What? Hit 625, combined those two on 32 swings, had four aces, three from Gabby. Oh my goodness, that is an incredible performance from those two in a big-time game.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, we kind of expect that from those two, but when the spotlight's on and it really matters for them to show up like that and play at their highest level, super awesome.
Yeah, Kevin Coburn for UCLA led the way with 12 kills, hit 304, but other than that, next closest guy had five. UCLA never gets to 20 in a set. I mean, this was just pure domination, 25-19, 16, and 17. BYU from match one, Steve, to this match last night, what a turnaround. And obviously, we've talked about it ad nauseum with the, Will Stanley didn't play in the first match and BYU lost. But BYU, I think, is playing some of its best volleyball at the right time because after tonight, BYU and UCLA again, 5 Pacific, you can stream it on the Pac-12 network, online, is very different from that first match.
Yeah, and really other than Grand Canyon, BYU hasn't really been tested from anybody that they've played so far this year, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll tell you, last year it was kind of the same. BYU just ran over everybody, and then when they got to that match against Hawaii, they were fired up and played some of the best volleyball they've ever played. Sweeping Hawaii, the number one seed. And now, so this year, we're at the same situation where Hawaii's still the number one. They're undefeated. They're just playing amazing volleyball. I'm so curious to see what's going to happen when those two face off. I'm sure they will face off
hopefully
here at some point.
Hopefully.
Right. Yeah.
Hopefully it's May 8th in Columbus, Ohio for the Natty. So BYU's won 12 in a row, Steve, ever since that Grand Canyon loss. BYU's 17-2, two losses to UCLA in the opening match, where BYU started freshman setter Zio Meyer. He was trying to do his best. It didn't quite work, right? BYU as a team just jumps out, loses the first match. Then, as you mentioned, Grand Canyon, the only team to challenge BYU. Took BYU to 5 in one match in Provo, and then in Phoenix swept the Cougars, including a third set 25-10. So Grand Canyon is such an enigma. We'll get to them in just a second. But 12-match win streak in which BYU has lost two sets. BYU is on fire right now, and I think the timing is awesome because after tonight, BYU has an off week, then the MPSF tournament where BYU has locked up the regular season championship. Congratulations to the Cougs. This is a thing they do often, and it's awesome. And April 22nd through the 24th, we will have the MPSF tournament here in Provo, and it'll be on Flow Sports, but we will be calling the matches, so we're very excited about that. Okay. Gabby Garcia-Fernandez, by the way, 12 aces away from Taylor Sandinell. You have tonight, you have up to two in the MPSF tournament matches, and then potentially two in the NCAA tournament. So 5, you think he's going to do it? 12-5.
Man, I don't know. He's running out of road. There's been a lot of times where he's played teams where BYU was just, wipe the floor with the team, but they've got four passers now that are trying to pass this bomb from from Gabby, and he's getting some amazing serves, but the teams are getting pretty good touches. And so I don't know. I'm kind of shocked that he's still 12 away this far into the season. I mean, he had 50 what last year? 56 or 58?
His freshman and junior years, he had 51 and 56 or 5. Yeah. And yeah, 32 his sophomore year. He has 32 right now. And remember, no January. So yeah, it's true. Been a little shorter, but yeah, he's on fire. So BYU right now, the one seed, that's locked in. UCLA, 13 wins. Pepperdine, 11. Then Grand Canyon at 5. What? USC at 5. Grand Canyon swept USC last night, by the way. Concordia and Stanford. So tonight, only match in the MPSF, BYU at UCLA. Next week, there are two sets of matches. Concordia at Grand Canyon for a pair. Pepperdine at Stanford. Looks like UCLA is not going to make up that game at Stanford, which is interesting. And that rounds out the regular season. Then the MPSF tournament.
Yeah, and I'm not super shocked that UCLA doesn't want to reschedule that match with Pepperdine, because it's really just going to hurt them. At this point, they're in a good spot. I mean, they're first is too far away.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it makes sense that they wouldn't want to, but it's kind of a bummer for volleyball fanatics because, I mean, they're like right next to each other, and it would be a fun match to watch.
Okay, coming up, our Cougar conversation with Cyrus Fa'alogo, and later head coach Sean Olmstead as Over the Top continues on BYU Radio. Welcome back to Over the Top. I'm Jerem Jordan with Steve Vail. Some careers don't play out as planned. In the case of Cyrus Fa'alogo, a promised role player position in 2018 seemed like just the beginning. Instead, an Achilles tear last December derailed what could have been a productive senior season off the bench. Here's this week's Cougar conversation with the senior from West Jordan, Utah.
All right, Cyrus, we went to the same high school, the beloved Copper Hills High School in West Jordan, Utah. Tell everyone what makes Copper Hills one of the, if not the best, high school in these United States of America.
Well, honestly, there's a lot of things. I mean, it's a beautiful school anyway. Just like the parents, it's really nice. It's kind of fancy. But when I was there, the administration there for all the sports, we didn't have like a set volleyball team, but my brothers played basketball there. One of my brothers played football, and just the atmosphere, like the support for all the students and the student athletes there was really nice. So it was nice to be a part of that.
And you forgot the massive grizzly at the front, right? It's literally it's like 12 feet tall. It's super imposing. It's way better than a Bingham Minor, right?
Right. It's way better than the Minor, especially better than the Kearns Cougars.
Oh, definitely better. Listen, I love the BYU Cougars, but it's all good. You go to Copper Hills, and then you take the long road to BYU. You go to Long Beach City College, which is known as one of the best, volleyball colleges that isn't D1 or 2 per se.
In California.
So what was that experience like? And then how did you get to BYU?
It's kind of funny. So when I was a junior in high school at Copper Hills, I played club like a couple of years. Me and, you remember Taylor Richards? He was on the team a couple of years ago here at BYU.
Yes.
His mom, Lori, she actually started a club back then. And so I played for that, and I came to a couple of camps in high school as a setter. And Rob Nielsen at the time, he really liked the way that I set. And so I actually signed, they offered me a scholarship my junior year of high school, BYU did. And I signed, I committed going into my senior year of high school, but then I wasn't the best student in high school. My grades didn't go as well, so my application got denied twice. Actually, it got denied once that year, and then I graduated in May 2013, and they had me reapply again that summer. And then October of 2013, I found out it got denied again, and so I decided to kind of just go on, put volleyball and school aside for a little, and just I wanted to go on a mission. So I go on a mission 2014. I get back 2016. It's a brand new BYU coaching staff, but I knew Jalen because when I was being recruited there, he was playing at the time. So I reached out to Jalen coming home, and I asked him, I haven't played in a couple of years, but I still would like to try to make my way to BYU. And he actually referred me to John Charette at Long Beach.
A former BYU player.
Yeah, yep. And so with John playing there, I hit him up in 2016, and I explained to him my situation. I told him, I signed as a setter a couple of years ago. That whole thing didn't follow through. And he actually remembered me. So I guess he told me he had coached me at my first BYU camp, but I didn't remember that. But as soon as I called him.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really nice. Like he was really happy to hear from me. And so I decided to go there 2016, go into 2017, and had a really good year there, thanks to him. Like, he helped me out a lot. And so, and then he actually played the same time, or I guess a year or two, with Sean Olmstead here at BYU. And so he reached out to Sean, and it kind of just, everything fell into place from there. Like, he told Sean about me, and Sean had heard, because Sean knew my sister, you know, when my sister played back in the day. And so it was cool. It all kind of worked out after my mission. And then I came here after that year. So
you end up getting to BYU. What's that moment like when you finally are able to play for the Cougars and have some success? Because it was a long journey. You talked about going to camps, and then you go on a mission,
yeah,
and you're going to Long Beach City College, and then finally you're in the Smith Fieldhouse, and there's like 4,000 fans going crazy when you spike the ball.
Yeah. Honestly, it was surreal. It honestly just made the whole like process in high school, it made it all worth it when I first transferred here. And I think, what especially was cool, I mean, what different that I didn't expect, is that I came, they actually signed me as an outside, BYU did. I went to Long Beach as a setter, to be a setter originally. And then John actually kind of turned me into an outside. And so to be able to come to BYU as an outside after that 1 year at Long Beach was really cool, and kind of just made everything worth it, especially having my family here, you know, being able to come and watch me at the home game. So
in 2018, you end up playing, and you have some notable performances against number 3 UCLA. You hit 470, 11 kills, and 6 digs in a match. You end up having 15 kills against Concordia Irvine. You hit, you know, 610 against USC in the MPSF tournament. Like, that must have been surreal as well, to not only play, but play well in some important matches.
Yeah, it was fun. Honestly, especially that season, I know it started off kind of hard for me, just because like I was obviously the new outside, like brand new to the team. There were a lot of really good outsides that year, but being able to get that chance, you know, later on in the season to help and gaining that trust, you know, from Sean and Luca at the time and Jalen, it was really fun. It was worth it, and I'm just grateful for the experience I've had so far here.
Prior to the season, it's exciting. You're gonna figure prominently in some way, whether it's as coming off the bench as an outside hitter, or you and Zach Eschenberg
in
the trading time, perhaps, or even, you know, backup setter, third string. You're just skilled, you know, in that way. But in December, you tear your Achilles. So walk me back to that day that unfortunately put you out for the season.
Like you mentioned, this past fall season with practice was fun because it was competitive. You know, with me, especially us going, you know, for that OH2 spot, it was really fun. But then when this happened back in December, it honestly was hard. I just a normal day in practice, you know, I went up to block, coming back and trying to just transition back to hit the ball, and I just felt the pop, you know, and I don't think it hit me at first. You know, I fell, and I have history with cramping, so everyone thought it was a cramp. Everyone was kind of just like, oh, he's probably cramping again. But I knew it was something different. And then later on that day, when meeting with Blaine afterwards, and he told me that it looked like this was, you know, my Achilles. And he said it didn't look like a tear. He thought it was like a full rupture. And so it was hard. Yeah, like a couple hours later, it finally hit me, you know, getting ready to go home. You know, I cried a lot. It was, it was kind of hard. Just thinking too that this was going to be my last shot or my last chance, you know, to play for the Cougars. It was hard, but it's gotten better. You know, it's been a blessing as far as like school goes. You know, I've been able to focus a lot more, especially with graduating soon. So I've just tried to look, you know, stay positive, trying to help where I can, support the team still.
So where do you sit now? Is there an opportunity for you to get a medical redshirt? Is that a thing you want to potentially come back next year?
Last year I actually did redshirt last year due to like credits and stuff. I was short one credit last year, so I had to redshirt. And so coming into this year with this injury, that has been a question, you know, to medical redshirt. But honestly, I know that I've met a lot with Sean, you know, with the head coach, and I think he knows that I kind of just want to you know, find my life and move on. I'm so grateful for my time here at BYU, especially playing volleyball with Sean or under Sean. It's been a blessing, and I'm glad I came here. But especially with school and stuff, I'm kind of just ready to graduate and then to kind of just see what the next step would be for me in life.
Okay, thanks, Cyrus. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Jerem.
Cyrus Fa'alogo. Okay, Steve says wow a lot during matches, so naturally it's time for...
This is Steve's Moments of the Week.
What's up, Steven?
Well, I'll tell you, both Gabby and Davide went off last night. 32 swings for the two of them, zero errors, and 20 kills. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. BYU locks up the number one seed, you know, following the season, going into the NPSF tournament. And then talking to Sean, how different it was down there at UCLA. Everything's on lockdown. There's nobody, I mean, literally nobody in the gym. Everybody has their own assigned seat. They couldn't wander. The bench couldn't get together. Really, really a different and kind of a difficult environment to play in. Clearly not affected. BYU just wipes the floor with UCLA. I'm curious to see what's going to happen tonight, but that was a pretty good wow moment for me as well.
That was Steve's Moments of the Week.
As we go to break, here's today's trivia question. How many NCAA tournaments have the fifth-year seniors on this year's BYU team been to? The answer after this timeout. Today's trivia question, how many NCAA tournaments have the fifth-year seniors on this year's BYU team been to? The answer, two. 2017 went to the title game in Ohio State against the Buckeyes. 2018 went to the Final Four. Cougars were pacing for a run at a title in the NCAA tournament, of course, last year, and could do it again this year. It looks like BYU probably will. So it could have been, it'll probably be three, could have been four, which has never happened in with a single class. Okay, head coach Sean Olmstead now joins us in this week's Coach's Corner on the road since BYU, you know, playing at UCLA to finish the regular season up here. Sean, congratulations on the win last night. What a performance against UCLA, man.
Yeah, I mean, I told the guys after the match, in a performance like that, you know, not that we as coaches ever think that, hey, we're all right, we found the secret sauce. Here it is. This is what we're going to do to go win this match. But I told the guys after, I really, guys, that was all you, gentlemen. They, from right from the start, you know, they got after it and even had a few little setbacks. You know, the start of the second set, I think they ripped three aces in a row at one point, you know, to go up 4-0. And the guys just rolled. They had a different, you know, their defense, they were touching everything. They were all over the court. And I just told the guys, I didn't have any words. Props to you guys. I think there was something about just taking care of business last night, getting that win, securing first place, kind of the regular season, however you want to look at it. And they did it. It was all them.
Hitting 455, always awesome. I want to highlight what Davide Gardini and Gabby Garcia Fernandez specifically did. They had 32 swings, 20 kills, zero errors, 529 and 733 combined for those guys. So that was amazing.
Wow.
I mean, the efficiency of those two was unbelievable.
Yeah, and, you know, we've been working a lot with that, with Gabby especially, and actually Davide, you know, just their length and their build. You know, if we just allow those guys to go do work up high, you know, it's really hard for them to get themselves in trouble. They can take good swings. And I talk to these guys all the time that, you know, a lot of times as attackers, we want to kill the ball. We believe we've got to detonate. We've got to just kill the ball. But in volleyball, getting dug is a productive skill. It's not bad. And you get yourself in trouble when you start to accumulate the hitting errors. And so, but that stat line right there, I mean, Jerem, I didn't even put that together, but that's pretty ridiculous. 32 and zero hitting errors for both those guys. That's more than you would ever ask for sure.
Steve, I think that you did that in a few club tournaments back in the day, right?
Yeah, I wish. In my mind, I probably did, but actually, in reality, not so much. No.
Yeah. What? And so now you have you've locked up the one. Congratulations on that. That's a big deal, right, to lock up the one. You get a bye in the quarterfinals. You don't have to play until the semifinals on April 23rd in the MPSF tournament in Provo. So what did that mean to the team, or does that mean anything at all?
No, I mean, yeah, let's not just, you know, throw out that, hey, that doesn't matter, all this that mattered. No, the guys are proud of that. The guys, that's one of the things they've been working towards. So there's a lot to it in that sense. We're looking forward to just another opportunity. I think with, you know, this year, the dynamics of this year and all the, you know, the unknowns and uncertainties of this year, we're looking forward to, I think there's value in playing another game tonight, you know, this afternoon. And so we've got to recognize that the fact that those guys went through this season again with kind of the unknowns and the uncertainties, we're talking about middle of January, guys. I wasn't telling the guys, but there was still some unknowns in terms of, are we even playing, you know? And so here we are, and the guys locked up that number one seed. That's a big deal.
It is indeed a big deal. We're talking to Sean Olmstead here on Over the Top on BYU Radio from Los Angeles as BYU prepares for UCLA again in men's volleyball tonight, 5 Pacific time. You can stream it on the Pac-12 network there. What's it like, you know, having such a performance last night? And then, yes, you've locked up the one seed, but tonight still matters because you still want to win the MPSF tournament. You still want to get to the best seed you can, whether that be the one or the two, and get a bye to the semifinals of the, you know, or the quarterfinals, I guess, of the Final Four and whatnot. And you still have to play tonight. So what's that preparation like, knowing you did something amazing last night, but you still have another match with a top six team tonight?
Yeah, I mean, nothing changes. You know, the guys are literally filing in. They're at breakfast right now. And then we've got film at 9:30. Then we leave for the gym at 10:20. We've got a serve and pass at 11. So we haven't changed anything in terms of our preparation and going into this match. We haven't changed anything. So we look at it as an opportunity for us to continue to play. And I think as it relates to not only the MPSF tournament, but beyond, you've got to take advantage of every match that, you know, we can play together. There's a lot of value in that. And so that's how we're approaching it 100%.
With things down there in California with the Pac-12, things are still pretty much on lockdown in terms of, you know, you guys being together as a group and spacing and all that sort of thing. How are you guys able to overcome that? Because obviously it didn't have any effect on you guys in terms of your ability to play last night. You guys just absolutely were on fire. But how do you guys, when you can't really get together, I mean, your seats are so far away, the bench can't really get together and cheer. There's nobody in there, right? Like, it's super quiet. How are you guys able to overcome that and play as well as you did?
Yeah, guys, you know, the funny thing, it's a great question. And you know, I should give credit, most of the credit last night, a lot of the credit, not most, but the guys on the bench, I thought, did a phenomenal job. You know, just how quiet it is, you know, they were taking full advantage of that. You know, the
awesome
jokes, the kind of just cheering on their own teammates too. It was pretty classic, and they kind of embraced that. All right, we got to sit. We're staying 6 feet apart. We're staying on our chair. We're not moving. And they kind of embraced that and had a blast. And there's no doubt that the rest of the guys kind of fed off that energy.
Well, they could probably hear them, you know, too. Normally, in a normal match, you can't hear that. I mean, you can hear a little bit of the bench, but you can't hear what they're saying. I'm sure last night, you could hear exactly the cheers and the trash talk or whatever.
We had B.O., you know, Oberender. He's kind of the ringleader, and he's talking about who the fifth president of the United States is, and you know, some algebra equations. I lost track, but it just kind of kept a good mood in there. And
oh, that's
because that by far was the if quietest, that's a word, I think that was the quietest gym we've been in all season. And that's a big gym, Pauley Pavilion. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot that, you know, just big, quiet area, and they embraced it and had a good time with it. And there was a little adjustment because that's – even the timeouts were kind of strange. The guys had to sit apart, and then we could bring them in right at the end. And so we actually lost track a couple times with the timeouts, like, oh, crap, guys, hey, come in real quick. Now get out there, you know. So we'll kind of just go from there. But we're learning as we go together as a group, the dynamics of this, you know, kind of the new, you know, the new way of competing.
Even if there was a big crowd there last night, they would have been quiet. Given the way BYU played, right? Probably. It would have been quiet either way.
And that might have been, you know, with a big crowd in that, at that poly, that would have been a blast. But, you know, the guys, because the guys definitely would have shut down the noise for sure.
Right. Okay, you had a fun week, right? Because BYU plays Thursday, Friday last week, and then you're prepping for UCLA, but you had a little bit of a road trip, right?
Yeah. No, I took my, you're talking about my family, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we had the first weekend that we've had available, so I took one for the team, the family team, and after our match at USC, I drove my family to Santa Barbara, dropped them off at the beach where mom and dad live, because it's my kid's spring
Provo
break.
Provo to Santa Barbara, right? Yeah.
I drove them, and then I caught a flight back so I could be at practice all week with the team. And then my dad will be picking me up at the match. He can't come to the match. I asked for a special exception, and they denied it. Which
even
I
with
understand.
Who he
so,
is, they still wouldn't do it.
Long time, high school coach, official. Yep.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't do it, and so my dad's just got off the phone with him. Hey, where do you want to meet? And he's going to pick me up. The team will fly back, and I'm taking another one for my family team, and I've got to drive the family back to Provo.
700 miles back. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It's a nice 11, 12-hour drive with five kids. Should be a blast.
Okay, so bigger challenge, UCLA tonight or the road trip?
Oh, dude. I don't want to get in trouble. So
yeah,
I'll say UCLA.
I think I know which one that is.
We'll answer
for
you. Yeah, the road trip.
But, no, the things we got to do for our family. And honestly, it was cool that it worked out, and I'll sleep when I'm retired and years down the road. So do those things for the family. They've had a blast on the beach every day. And so cool. I'm glad it could work out.
Well, you've been spaced apart and they've been on the beach hanging out. So that juxtaposition's no fun either. But anyway, Sean, congratulations on the win last night. Good luck today again against UCLA at 5 Pacific on the Pac-12 network streaming. And we'll see you next week for practice and then MPSF tournament, baby, in Provo.
Yep, we're looking forward to it. I appreciate all the coverage from you guys. Love it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
always
Sean.
Always a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Safe travels to Sean Olmsted. Fun times there. Okay, time for our 80s or 90s TV show or movie of the week. Steve, what do you have?
So, you know, a quick hint on it was, well, how do you know she's a witch? She turned me into a newt. Well, I got better. Yeah, Monty Python, Holy Grail. So good. So, so good. It took me a minute to get the humor, but once I locked in with that humor, Monty Python, Holy Grail is one of my all-time favorites.
It's merely a flesh wound. We are the knights of me. I love that movie. It's
a
so
flesh
funny.
Wound, your arm's off. I had Wes. So great.
Bring out your dead. Okay, that'll do it for us. We'll be back every Saturday throughout the season, unless it's General Conference Saturday, 2:30 Eastern here on BYU Radio and on demand on the BYU Radio app. For Cyrus Fotologo, Sean Olmsted, producer Liam Howard, and Steve Vail, I'm Jerem Jordan. You've just gone over the top.